had his plans for Abhay, and the college degree had been an integral part of those plans. But Krishna, it seemed, had other plans. The political protest of refusing the Bachelor of Arts degree was more a mark of honor than a social stigma. And Gaur Mohan did not reproach his son for it. But Abhay still needed to take up some kind of work. Gaur Mohan approached his friend Karthik Bose and asked him to employ Abhay. Dr. Karthik Chandra Bose, an intimate friend, had been the family doctor since Abhay's childhood. He was a distinguished surgeon, a medical scholar, and a chemical industrialist. He had his own establishment, Bose's laboratory in Calcutta, where he manufactured drugs, soaps, and other products for the pharmaceutical industry. Dr. Bose was well known throughout India as the first Indian to manufacture pharmaceutical preparations that had formerly been monopolized by European firms. He agreed to accept Abhay as a department manager at his laboratory. Although Abhay knew little of the pharmaceutical industry or of management, he felt confident that by reading a few related books, he could learn what he needed to know. But when this new young man was suddenly given the post of department manager, several workers became dissatisfied. Some of them were elderly and had been 40 years with the firm. They voiced their dissatisfaction amongst themselves and finally confronted Dr. Bose. "Why had this young man been put in charge?" Dr. Bose replied, "Oh, for that position I needed somebody I could trust like my own son. He is signing checks for 40,000 rupees. I could only entrust the personal handling of my accounts in that department to him. His father and I are very close, and this young man is known to me practically as my son." Gaur Mohan felt he had done his best. His prayer was that the principles of pure Vaishnavism he had taught his son would stay with him and guide him throughout his life. Gandhi and the cause of Swaraj had disrupted Abhai's college career, and Abhai was still inclined towards nationalism, but not so much for a political motive as for a spiritual vision. So Gaur Mohan was content. He knew the marriage arrangement was not pleasing to Abhay, but Abhay had accepted his explanation that detachment from wife and family affairs would be good for spiritual advancement. And Abhay was showing an inherent disinterest in materialistic affairs. This also did not displease Gaur Mohan, to whom business had always been subservient to his worship of Lord Krishna. He had expected this. Now Abhay had a promising job and would be making the best of his marriage. Gaur Mohan had done what he could, and he depended on Krishna for the ultimate result. Today is the tradition on Ekadasi, the reading of Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita is conducted at this most holy and auspicious abode of Sri Sri Radha Ras Bihari. The reciprocation between
the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his unalloyed devotee is the most wonderful of all subject matters to discuss. Because this subject matter, more than anything else, purifies our heart and awakens the deep joy of the soul in relationship with Krishna. How Srila Prabhupada performed such great tapasya, sacrifice, to glorify Sri Sri Radha Ras Bihari. How much he strived and struggled for their glorification. Generally, when a person renounces this world, they take an easy life. In this material society, when a person retires at an old age, they don't struggle for anything anymore. They basically want to relax and leave the hard work for others. And even in the spiritual sense here in India, when a person works very hard throughout his life, when he takes vanaprastha or even sannyas, they go to a holy place and perhaps they do some puja, they do some bhajan, they hear satsangs, they eat as much prasad as possible. And in this way they relax and live an easy life. Srila Prabhupada, he spent his grihastha life working very hard, keeping very, very high level of responsibility to whoever he was employed by, as well as his family members. But at the same time, as explained here, following in the footsteps of his father's desire, he always kept service to Krishna and Vaishnavas and Guru first in his life. Everything else is subordinate. Whatever he did, it was in pursuance of a spiritual vision. Krishna was never separated from his life. One time, I remember a reporter from Newsweek magazine was interviewing Srila Prabhupada. Generally, newspaper reporters are quite sensationalistic. They do not want just facts. They want something that they could really make a sensation out of. So this reporter asked Srila Prabhupada, "Swamiji, when did you first see God?" And Srila Prabhupada was never eager to broadcast his own realizations of God, but he was always eager to preach in such a way that everyone could realize God. Srila Prabhupada explained that God is in everyone's heart. It is the nature of every soul to see God. You have forgotten God due to attachment to material desires. But if you just live according to these Krishna conscious principles and chant the holy names, you can see God. Newspaper reporter replied, "Oh, Swamiji, very good, but thank you for saying like this, but I believe you did not understand what is my question. Exactly what age did you first see God?" Srila Prabhupada explained varnashram system, how Krishna has divided society into four varnas and four ashrams, and by following these principles gradually we could all serve the Lord, and you can see God too. Everyone can see God. "Swamiji, thank you very much, but I'm afraid it's not your fault, it must be my fault. I am not explaining my question properly.
But my question is exactly, what age did you first see God? Srila Prabhupada explained how Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had descended, the most munificent of all incarnations, to give Krishna consciousness to everyone. And if you just follow these four regulative principles, no illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling, no meat-eating, associate with devotees, chant Harinam, this Mahamantra, then the heart is pure, you can see God. God is everywhere. You just cannot see Him. Swamiji, please forgive me for asking again, but perhaps it is that I cannot properly express my question. But my question to you is, exactly what age were you when you first saw God? Srila Prabhupada said,
about 4 years old.
And then all the devotees went, Jai Srila Prabhupada, and it was Murdangas and Karatalas. It was very nice. On other occasions, Srila Prabhupada told us, there was never a time in my life when I was not remembering Krishna. Srila Prabhupada explains in introduction, I believe it was to Krishna book, he dedicated to his father, Gaura Mohan Day, who imbibed the spirit of devotion to Krishna from his very earliest childhood, which was later solidified by his eternal father, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Srila Prabhupada, when so little boy, he would help his parents in the worship of Radha Govinda. He would see his father, however much busy he may have been, however many crises were in the family, it never disturbed his worship of Sri Radha Govinda or his service to the sadhus. Prabhupada said every day in his entire childhood, never did it pass without his father inviting several sadhus to his home to feed, to serve with great culture, tradition, and devotion. Not as a ritual, but as a genuine act of being the servant of the servant of Lord Krishna. And to each sadhu he would beg, please, bless my son. He didn't say, bless my son that he gets accepted in Oxford University. Bless my son that he makes lots of money, that he gets nice wife. Bless my son that he takes care of me throughout my life. He didn't ever ask for these benedictions. He asked the great sadhus, bless my son that he will become a dear servant of Sri Radharani. That's all. That was the prominence. That was the priority. By his own endeavor and determination, he would conduct the Ratiyatra ceremony. It's a big event. Here in Juhu, you know what it takes to conduct a Ratiyatra. A lot of planning, a lot of hard work. Prabhupada, of course, now he's doing it here, through all of you. But when he was a little boy, he was doing it himself with his sister, making so many arrangements. This was his determination. Most children are determined for sports, athletics, to run and jump and hit balls and everything, kick balls, hit balls. Others are very enthusiastic and determined for studies. Prabhupada was enthusiastic and determined from his little childhood to glorify Lord Jagannath and invite the whole world to come and see the beauty of Jagannath and chant the holy name. So Srila Prabhupada, he had descended from the spiritual realm in order to assist Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the most glorious way in this Yuga Dharma. And this is so much apparent, even from his earliest days of childhood. The transcendental pastimes of the Lord and his pure devotees are very pleasing to the heart and very instructive in our lives.
So Srila Prabhupada, after renouncing everything of this world, family obligations, occupational duties, even leaving Vrindavan to go to the West, he came here to Bombay, and so much opposition to get this land in Juhu. He invited Radharas Bihari to come here. A little shack. You all know the story far better than me. But for my purification, I must speak it. It also helps deepen my appreciation for all of you who are serving this project, to remember what this project meant to Srila Prabhupada. How so much opposition came. Legal opposition, physical threats, poverty, so many problems. As a renounced person, he had every right to just say, too much trouble, let us do something else. But he fought and he struggled so much. I remember in 1974, Srila Prabhupada came to New Vrindavan, and he stayed in a little grey house. The name of that place was the Grey House. And he was going every day to give Bhagavatam class, and he was coming every evening to give Bhagavad Gita class, and he was meeting devotees during the day. But every day, throughout the day, he was just anxious about what's happening in Bombay. What's happening with this land? What's happening with the building of the temple? He was in so much meditation. We were thinking, we've been waiting so many years for Prabhupada to come to New Vrindavan, and it appears physically he's here, but his mind is in Bombay. He was getting telexes or telegrams, not telexes, telegrams from His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj, what is the situation? He was with so many exchanges just in those few days. What was his meditation? Sri Sri Radharas Bihari. Of course, he illuminated our hearts with so much mercy and love and such beautiful preaching. While he was there, he gave initiations to many devotees. It was a wonderful, wonderful visit. But so much of his time was very much concerned in prayer and hard work. Fighting! He was like a warrior for Radharas Bihari. So one who gives up everything to glorify Krishna, then Krishna naturally reciprocates to glorify that devotee. It is very, very nice that here, twice a month, Hare Krishna, for the pleasure of Sri Sri Radharas Bihari, they could hear the glories of Srila Prabhupada. By Srila Prabhupada's mercy, thousands and thousands of people here in Bombay and millions of people all over the world are glorifying Radharas Bihari. And by Radharas Bihari's love, now so many people are understanding and chanting the glories of Srila Prabhupada. In this particular section that we're reading from today, many nice things are described. One is how Gaur Mohan Day had very nice plans for Srila Prabhupada to go to college and get a degree. Most parents, especially in India, have these nice plans. We have seen. However, Srila Prabhupada, as it is explained here by Srila Satsarup Goswami Maharaj, he had a spiritual vision in his life. And in that spiritual vision at that particular time, it was very important that the British
were removed from their controlling position in the great land of India. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, everyone born in India, Bharatvarsha, it is their birth's duty that they must help spread pure love of God all over the world. This is the highest welfare work. So how could people take up this mission if they are subjugated and controlled by a materialistic, empirical, or a materialistic empire? The British Empire was terribly materialistic. They were trying to exploit as much of the resources of India simply for their material power and position in the world. And everything of India was meant to spread love of God, Krishna consciousness all over the world. How is it possible until we kick these people out?
So Prabhupada saw that Mohandas Gandhi actually had a plan, and his plan was based on moral principles and basic religious convictions. So Prabhupada saw that this is something good that is happening. Now in order to do that, he had to give up. He had to be willing to give up his college degree, because the colleges were operated by the British, and this non-participation movement was conducted in such a way that we reject anything, any of the statuses, titles, or facilities that the Britishers are giving. After all, how can you be committed to kicking people out when you're still enjoying the benefits they're giving you? Not only is it a dysfunctional concept, but it is also dishonorable. It is hypocritical. It is something like, we say we don't want your help, but every day we're taking your money and your food. And I'm saying, I don't need you, but please feed me. I don't need you, but I need some money, otherwise how will I live? Who will take you seriously? As long as the people of India were dependent on the facilities the British were giving, how will they have any real conviction to remove the British and live independent of them? First you have to give up attachment to what they're providing. Then you have real strength and integrity to tell them to go. This was the idea. That first we must detach ourselves from all the gifts the British are giving. Detach ourselves from all of what we're getting by serving them. Then we will make. Then there will be potency in what we speak. So Srila Prabhupada saw that there was something genuine there. But the problem was, it was simply not, that genuineness was not placed for the right cause. As he very much was convinced of by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. When Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur told him, on their first meeting at Ultadanga Junction Road, Gaudiya Math, he said, you young man, you take the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in English language and spread all over the world. Srila Prabhupada agreed. Yes, this is the ultimate purpose of life. But who will take us seriously? As long as we are the servants of such a materialistic establishment as the British Empire. Rupa and Sanatan Goswami, they were very highly learned, pure devotees of the Lord. But because they were the servants of the Nawab Hussein Shah, who was a materialistic emperor, they understood, what potency did they have to preach?
Therefore, what did Rupa and Sanatan do? They gave up millions and millions, crores and crores and crores of rupees worth of wealth. High position and luxuries. They gave it all up to live under trees. Why? So that when they preached the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, people would believe them. There would be integrity in what they spoke. They were practicing what they were preaching. They gave their lives 100% for the pleasure of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. To the degree we sacrifice of our life for the pleasure of Guru and Gauranga, to that same degree, Guru and Gauranga will empower us with the words to inspire people's hearts to actually surrender to Krishna. There are many people speaking, and they are entertaining people's intelligence and giving happiness to people's hearts in the sense that it's very pious, religious discussions going on, nice philosophy, very convincing. But do they have the potency to actually generate the desire to surrender utterly in pure unalloyed devotion to the Supreme Godhead? None of them can do that. Only that person who is specifically empowered, Krishna Shakti Vina. And we become empowered to the degree we live by Krishna's teachings. We make sacrifice for the sake of Krishna's service. So until he met Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, it was his divine leela that he would be pursuing making the world Krishna conscious in his own way, thinking that at this stage of his life, Gandhi. It's not that he necessarily wanted to follow Gandhi his whole life, but he wanted the British out, and he had the best plan so far. So he gave up the chance for a college degree. That means actually giving up so much future for the rest of your life for material prosperity. And his father was very pleased that he had done it. And he knows, every father should be like Gaur Mohanty. He was pleased that his son was giving up something material, even though it's probably the most important thing in the material world for a young person is his education. He was willing to give it up for a higher purpose. Actually, one of Srila Prabhupada's very dear associates who helped him at the very beginning when Prabhupada came to Bombay was Ramchandra Chabria. Do you all know him? Srila Prabhupada first met Ramchandra Chabria in London. When Prabhupada went there in 1969, he went there to assist to inspire Shyam Sundar, Lalati, Guru Das, Jamuna, Mukunda, Maharaj, and Janaki. He was one of the Indian gentlemen at the time with his sons who actually stood forward and really, really wanted to help Srila. So he told Srila Prabhupada that I own a hotel, the Sea Palace Hotel, just close to the gateway of India. In Bombay. Whenever you come to Bombay, let us serve you. You can take all your devotees and you can live with us there. So when Srila Prabhupada first came back to Bombay with many of his disciples, for I think about 6 weeks, they stayed at the Sea Palace Hotel. I believe that was one of, perhaps the first place he stayed when he was here. So, Ramchandra Chabria, we meet him often, even today. He is becoming very elderly in age. But whenever I ask him to tell me some things about Srila Prabhupada that he remembers, he tells many things, but every time he remembers one incident. That it wasn't one incident, it was something that Prabhupada told him again and again and again. Would you like to hear?
Yes.
Very well, thank you. But every time he remembers one incident, that it wasn't one incident, it was something that Prabhupada told him again and again and again. Would you like to hear?
Yes.
Very well, thank you. He said many stories about Prabhupada. He spent many, many hours, days talking to Srila Prabhupada, both in London and London. But he said Prabhupada used to tell him regularly, with a passion, how disappointed he was with the nation of India. And he said the biggest problem in India is so many people get married and they have several sons and they are so attached. They are not willing to give at least one of their sons to the Hare Krishna movement to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. It is the duty of India, that the duty, according to God Himself, and no one can argue with the Word of God, that every person born in these soils of Bharatvarsha must spread Hari Bhakti, Krishna consciousness all over the world. So why they cannot give one son, each family, to spread the glories of Sanatana Dharma, Krishna consciousness all over the world? This is the problem. Ramchandra Chabria said, Prabhupada would be angry if you would speak.
Evil.
So Gaur Mohan Day, he was such a person. He was proud of his son when he was giving up material opportunities for the higher purpose. And how proud he was when he saw his little boy worshipping Jagannath, worshipping Radha Govinda. So it is explained here how Abhai was asked to get married, and the wife that his father presented to him, Abhai did not like. She was not a very beautiful lady. He was not attracted to her at all. So Abhai told his father, if you want to get me married, at least get me married to somebody better than this. But Gaur Mohan Day, on every level, he was only concerned with Abhai's spiritual progress. He said, it is good if you marry this lady, because you will not become too attached to her. If you marry who you want to marry, you will become too much attached. And self-realization of human life is not meant for marriage, it's meant for self-realization. Believe it or not, human love, marriage is meant for self-realization. The only true and genuine purpose of marriage is to become detached. Human life is meant for tapasya. Vairagya vidyanija bhakti yoga. Three principles are there that are essential for spiritual advancement. One is detachment, vairagya. One is vidya, knowledge. And the other is devotion, bhakti. We cannot become attached to Krishna unless we become detached from sense gratification. Prabhupada used to say, spiritual life and sense gratification go ill together. They are opposite. So therefore, really, family life is meant for detachment and attachment to Krishna. But detachment doesn't mean ignoring each other, neglecting each other, being cruel to each other. That is not detachment. That is actually another side of attachment. Actual detachment in family life means you are Vaishnava, I am Vaishnava. Vancha kalpata rubhyascha. Like that. The husband should think like this of the wife. Vancha kalpata. The wife should think vancha kalpata. You are Vaishnava. So we honor each other, we respect each other, we care for each other, but not for sense gratification. For Hari Seva. For the service of Guru and Krishna. Together we will worship. That is detachment. So Father told Abhai Charan that this is very good arrangement. You are not attached. Very nice. Together you will be attached to Krishna. It will be very good for your spiritual advancement. Now, for an ordinary young person, this would not be very easy to accept. Marrying someone that is not at all attracting you because it's good for your spiritual life. One time Hayagriva asked Srila Prabhupada, if these are the things that are involved in getting married, why even get married at all? Prabhupada said, yes, you have understood. But sometimes it has to be done. And it should be done in such a way that you create Vaikuntha in your home, not you create Martyaloka in your home. And that means devotional service is prominent. It is the only binding force. So when Gaur Mohan Day told Srila Prabhupada, this is very good for your spiritual advancement, he accepted wholeheartedly, yes, I accept what you say. If this is good for my spiritual advancement, then I won't accept it. That is Krishna consciousness. And we have also read how... of course, later on, Abhai was always engaging his wife in helping him serve his Guru Maharaj. His family life was something completely extraordinary. When he was living in Calcutta, I think on Banerjee Road, even recently we spoke to some of Srila Prabhupada's godbrothers, and they were explaining how when Prabhupada was Grihastha, he had some rooms in the property, and he gave all the rooms to his godbrothers to preach. Gaudiya Math. Puri Maharaj, Shridhar Maharaj, sometimes Madhava Maharaj. He just lived with them in Calcutta for years. He just had these sannyasis living in his home for years, having preaching programs, inviting people, different parts of the home. And every possible moment he was just assisting them. He was singing kirtans, he was inviting friends, he was preaching. Even these sannyasi godbrothers, their disciples, they were telling, you learn Bhagavad Gita, you learn the Shastras from Abhai Charanaravinda. He is authority. And his wife, all she could do in his association was just somehow or other, there was nothing else there except raising the family in the association of sadhus, sannyasis, Gaudiya Vaishnavas, preaching all around. He was supporting all their preaching financially, and he wasn't even making much money. He was making only little money. But he was supporting their preaching, supporting their lives. All these sannyasis and their disciples and servants and assistants. He gave them, that was their headquarters. For this particular great souls, it was their headquarters for preaching. Abhay Charanaravinda's house. So this was the substance of his life throughout, always for the pleasure of Krishna, for the pleasure of the Guru of Krishna. And he goes on to explain how his father got him a job at Kartik Chandra Bose, an intimate friend of his father, who was a distinguished surgeon, a medical scholar, and a chemical industrialist. This Kartik Chandra Bose was very well known. He was a pioneer in Indian industry. He was the first Indian to establish a chemical pharmaceutical manufacturing company in India, not under the control of the British. And immediately, although he was just a young, he was in his very early 20s, just married, he was put as the manager of the company. And it is explained here that there were people working faithfully for that company for 40 years, who obviously were all hoping and praying to Durga Devi or Kali Mata in Calcutta, please let me become the manager someday. This was their goal. It's the goal of people's lives and business when they're materialistic, to get promotion and promotion. More money, more power. So this new man comes. They were very envious of him. They did not like. So they complained to Dr. Bose. Why him? He's just new. What has he done? We have done 40 years. Prabhupada told the story. Because not only is it his history, but it also is a lesson that he wants us to know. Mr. Bose said, I trust him. Therefore, I give him the highest position. In so many words, he said, you have been working for me for 40 years, but you all have your ulterior motives. I do not trust you. But he, I trust. In spiritual life, this is the very essence of guru-disciple relationship. There is nothing the spiritual masters could ever want more in a disciple than a person they can fully trust under any condition. It's like here in Bombay, His Holiness Srila Giriraj Maharaj. It's a famous story. He was not necessarily so experienced in India or such expert manager and everything, but Prabhupada put him in very high position. And when people actually even complained and asked why, Prabhupada said, because I trust him. Because I know he is willing to live and die for me, I trust him. Malati Mataji, when she likes to tell this, one of her favorite stories, when she was in Mayapur, she was Prabhupada's cook. One day Srila Prabhupada called the senior most acharyas of the Gaudiya Math to take prasad with him. Big, big acharyas with their dandas, sannyasis, great, great learned scholars, Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Some of them have opened many temples, so many disciples. So they were sitting for prasad and Malati cooked. And there was no one around to serve it. Somehow or other, everyone, all the sannyasis, brahmacharis, they were not there. So Prabhupada told her to serve it. So she felt so embarrassed. She didn't know what to do. I mean, Mataji, these big, big, they're not all like Prabhupada, but they're so merciful. These other sannyasis and acharyas, holy Vaishnavas. How can I, I'm a woman, how can I serve? How can I bring this food into them? So she was very much ashamed. But still, Prabhupada ordered her to bring the prasad. So she actually put her sari, completely covering her face, so no one could see her. And she was so, they were sitting down. And her sentiment was she could not, if she walked there, she would be on a higher platform than them. She was not so expert at Indian customs, but she understood that these big, big, great souls, my guru's godbrothers, I cannot be on a higher level than them. Therefore, I can't walk, because they're sitting on the floor. So she crawled in, holding the pot in front of her. She crawled in on her hands and knees. So Srila Prabhupada, he didn't care what they thought, man, woman, whatever. Prabhupada said to his godbrothers, right in front of Malati, he said, this devotee, he said, she will cut her throat for me within any second if that was what was required to serve me. And I would do the same for her. In other words, he trusted her. He had faith. She will never leave. She will, she and her life is for me. And that is a greater opulence than any material skills. We may be very, very good at management, we may be very good at speaking or singing or cooking or drawing paintings or so many various services we do in Krishna consciousness, and we should do according to our capacity. But what most gives strength and happiness to the spiritual masters is when they see someone they can put complete trust and faith in. So, Abhai Charanarav Charan at the time just knew coming to the company practically the first day or week he's put in a position that others wanted for 40 years because I trust him. I could give him any responsibility. I know he will give his, he will be trusted to do it. And actually, Prabhupada told this story not only to show his history, but also to tell us how important it is that we live in such a way, we dedicate and commit ourselves in such a way that Guru and Gauranga actually have faith, they trust. You can only trust somebody completely when that person has no selfish motivations. As long as a person has selfish motivations, separate interests, you never can really trust them. But when a person is, even though the person may be to some extent a conditioned soul, the person really, prominent goal and only purpose of life is to serve. To please, whatever else happens, that person can be trusted. So Dr. Bose had this faith in Abhai Charan. And a little later on, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur had that same trust in Abhai Charan. At their first meeting, he had that trust. You give this message to the world. And so many incidents at Allahabad, at the Rupa Goswami Gaudiya Math, when they said there was going to be initiation ceremony. For example, president who was a brahmachari, he said to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada that this Abhai Charan,
I want to recommend him for initiation. He said, yes, I have taken note. He likes to hear. He does not go away.
Because just recently before, during the Vraj Mandala Parikrama at Koshi, he was giving lecture, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. And so many people want to see Sheshashayi Vishnu. But Prabhupada said, what will I see Sheshashayi Vishnu? More important, I hear from my Guru Maharaj. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, sometimes when he would speak, it would be for hours and hours and hours. And it was evening. So he was speaking. And there was a group of people. And as the hours went by, many people left. Maybe because they were tired. Maybe because they wanted to do something else. Srila Prabhupada said he couldn't even at that time understand so much of what his Guru Maharaj was speaking. He understood, but he spoke in such high words, such high philosophy. He said, but let me go on listening. Let me go on hearing. And even many of the senior Vaishnavas who were there, they had other duties, so they left. So Prabhupada stayed till the very end. And how much he pleased his Guru Maharaj by doing that. By just staying and hearing attentively. There was thousands of people for this Braj Mandala Parikrama. Weeks and weeks and weeks. How Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati remembered this one person from so many days before. He said, I have taken note. I have marked him. He likes to hear. He does not go away. He wasn't a disciple. Initiated. He wasn't a prominent person in the mat. He was a visitor. But because of that attentive determination to hear, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati marked. Here is a person I can trust. I will take him. He gave him first and second initiation the same day. Something that was very rare. And at Radhakund, we know so many of these stories. How Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur revealed his heart to Abhay Charanaravind. So openly, he was telling him things he was not telling even big scholarly sannyasis opening up so many 64 Gaudiya Maths for him. He was revealing his heart to Abhay Charanaravind, our Srila Prabhupada. About his concerns and his inner desires. Why is there conflict? Why is there disunity? Over material positioning, over offices. Why? Tear down the temple. Sell the marble print books. Better if we do that. If you get money, print books. Why did he tell him this? It was a controversial thing to say. Because he had he trusted. He knew he will do it. In Bombay, when they came to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and said, this Abhay Charanaravind is such a good preacher, such a good fund collector, such a good kirtan leader, such a good manager, everything, he should be the president of our mat. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, if he told him, Prabhupada would have done it, definitely. He said, no, let him go on with what he is doing. He will do everything in due course. He had that trust. He had that faith in the loyalty, the dedication, the sacrifice of his disciple. So Srila Prabhupada personally told us all these wonderful stories from Dr. Bose to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. In every situation, we should live with such integrity that Krishna within our heart, Guru, and the Vaishnavas, that they trust us, that we have no ulterior motives, we have no separate agenda. We are wholesale servants of the mission of Guru and Gauranga. These are some of the wonderful, wonderful lessons we can extract from this paragraph of Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita. I'm very grateful for the opportunity to try to serve you by speaking something. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki. Thank you very much.